The title of this sermon is When He Speaks.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, as always, we give you all praise. We give you all glory. We give you all honor because you are so worthy. And we adore you, and we adore your word, and we adore your presence, and we adore your love and your salvation, God. We adore you completely. And Lord, we thank you for inhabiting our praises this morning, for being here, for ministering already. And Lord, as we dig into your word, you be glorified all the more. You continue to speak. You let your Holy Spirit well up in this place, Lord. Let it blow the windows out of this place as we give you the glory that is due to you. And we bow down at your throne to hear directly from you. And we thank you and praise you in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I just want to address something. Last week, I do want to apologize when I preached. I heard some people saying they didn't think there were enough scriptures. So have we fixed that this week, Rick?
Amen, brother.
We have all the scriptures. You know, and last week I'd made the comment, you know, about Pastor Jerry being old, you know, and going bald. But I was sitting in his office today and I saw a picture and I was like, man, he's gone gray too. Lisa showed me a picture the other day. She goes, look, this was when your beard was dark colored. And I was like, oh, not anymore. But you know, the one thing I did say was that, you know, it doesn't matter who stands up here. It matters that God speaks. And I started thinking about, you know, when we speak to people and when we speak to each other and when we speak to our friends, our family, our kids, there's different ways that we speak. You know, you can say the exact same thing, but say it in such a way that it comes across a little differently. You know, I could say, here comes Tucker. See, I'm excited to see him. I truly am. Or I could say, here comes Tucker. You're a little late. Just barely. But so much in how we say things, or whether we whisper them or speak at this decibel, or if we raise our voices and change the tone of the voice. You know, I don't think both of my children are here now. I don't think I was much of a screamer or a yeller as a parent. Would that be true? But there were times that they were able to reach within me and bring that yell out. So the few times that I did yell, they knew that I was, he's very upset. But I want to talk about someone else speaking today. So let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And while you turn there, you know, Samuel, if we remember, his mother Hannah was not able to have children. And she went to the temple and she cried and she begged the Lord that she would be able to have a child. And so if she was able to have the child, she said, I'm going to lend him to the Lord. So this is that Samuel, and he's in the temple, and we'll start in chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel, he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the priest. And it says that the word of the Lord was precious in these days. There was no open vision. The word of the Lord was rarely given at this time. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he couldn't see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. So Samuel ran into Eli, and he said, here am I, because you called me. And Eli said, I called you not. Go lay down. So he went and he laid down. But before we go on, I just want you to think. So Samuel heard God's voice, and it reminded him of a person. He thought that he did not, he wasn't scared and trembling. He got up and he went to see what Eli. So God's voice sounded audibly to him like a person. He went. Okay, so verse 5. He ran in. He told him to go lay back down. Verse 6, the Lord called him again. And Samuel rose and he went to Eli and he said, here am I, for you did call me. And he answered, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Verse 7. Now Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He didn't understand it. It hadn't been made known to him. So the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and he went into Eli and he said, here am I. You did call me. I mean, I've heard you three times. Now Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be when he calls you, you should say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and he laid down in his place. And look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood. And he called us at the other times. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel answered, speak. For your servant hears. So in this instance, and I'm not going to tell you what they talked about. You'll have to do that on your own time. But he heard his voice just like a man. Jump over to 1 Kings. We're in 1 Samuel. So 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1 Kings. Chapter 19. Now, we sang, these are the days of Elijah this morning. Well, this is about Elijah. Elijah had just gone through with the prophets of Baal and he poured water all over the altar and God poured down fire and showed that he was God, right? So everything's going great for Elijah. Right after that, Elijah finds out that, well, somebody's trying to kill him, right? Who's trying to kill him? So Elijah is hiding out. And he's just like, I mean, what? Like, there's nobody left but me. So God comes and he speaks to Elijah. Verse 11, God told Elijah, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And get this, the Lord passed by him. And as he passed by, a great and strong wind rent the mountains. It break the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But it says the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord, he wasn't in the fire. And after that fire, there was a still, small voice. I'm not going to tell you what Elijah and God spoke about. You'll have to do that on your own time. But we've seen where he spoke as a man. And he comes through and you can see all of his glory. The wind, the mountains, the rocks, the earthquake, the fire. But he just speaks with a small, still voice. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 22. That's not always how God speaks, though. In 2 Samuel 22, this is David spake this song unto the Lord. But in verse 14, David describes the Lord's voice a little differently. He says, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. See, this wasn't a whisper. This wasn't a... He said he thundered from heaven. Flip over to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah is right after Isaiah. The prophet Jeremiah in verse 13 explains how how he heard the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah 10:13, Jeremiah says, when he uttereth his voice, he says, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings with rain, and he brings forth the wind out of his treasure. He said, a multitude of waters. Flip over to Ezekiel 43, verse 2. Sir Rick will throw it up here on the board. But it says, Ezekiel says, behold, the glory of the God of Israel. He came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Again, you'll see that, the voice of like many waters, that loud sound of the ocean, of the waves, that's how it was when God spoke. You could hear nothing else. Now let's flip back to Psalm 29. This was probably my favorite example. It's the Psalm of David. Psalm 29, and we'll start in verse 3. David says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. And he says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. What he's saying here is he makes you obey promptly. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. See, the Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. But did you see what David said? He said his voice is powerful. It's full of majesty. The title of this sermon is When He Speaks. See, he can speak to you in a lot of different ways, but when he speaks, there's so many ways to finish that sentence. When he speaks, though, it's powerful, it's majestic, it is true, it is faithful. When he speaks, we should do it. When he speaks, we should obey. But when he speaks, I'm going to ask Rick just to throw Isaiah 55:11 up there. Because he says what his word does, what his word will do. He says, so shall my word that comes out of my mouth. This is what's going to happen. It's not going to return to me void. It's going to accomplish that which I please. And it's going to prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when he speaks, no, it's not coming back to him with nothing. It's going to be profitable and it's going to accomplish the exact thing that he says each and every time. So we need to listen when he speaks. And he has spoken to us throughout this entire book that he has written to us. So there's no better place to start than in Genesis 1. In the beginning, right? In the beginning. Like, I can't comprehend eternity because it just is. You know? It didn't start, it doesn't end. It just is. We have a limited amount of time on this earth. And if we could grasp that eternity just is, we'll realize how small and short our time is. But in the beginning, right? It was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was God. That was it. The earth was without form and void. There was darkness upon it. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But in verse 3, I'm going to read, and when I stop, I want you to finish, okay? God said, let there be light. Huh. That was pretty good. He said it, and then what? It was. Right? Verse 6 and 7. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament. He divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And Because he said it. Verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Verse 14 and 15, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. You see, when God speaks, it happens. It was so. All he did was speak, and every single time, it was so. God spoke creation in 6 days. That's because he decided it would take 6 days. He could have done it instantly, but he did it the way that he did it, and he has a reason for everything. But he spoke it, and it was so. And that's what we see throughout Scripture, and that's what we should see in our lives and in our walk with him. God speaks it, and that's it. It was so. Mark chapter 4. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, had the exact same power. When he speaks to whatever, it was so. And in Mark chapter 4, we'll jump down to verse 35. I was in Matthew and I was like, man, there's no verse 35. Mark 4, 35, Jesus has just finished teaching in parables and he gets his disciples. And it says, the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let's pass over unto the other side. So when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It was so bad that the ship was filling with water. Verse 38, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and they said unto him, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? And he arose and he said, we are going to die. This is bad. Right? He's like, why didn't you wake me sooner? No, he arose and he spoke to creation just like he did when he created it. He rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Because he spoke, and creation has no choice but to come under subjection of his voice and of his word. Because his voice is powerful, and it is in control. Flip back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus comes, and if you look through this, I mean, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, it's all red in my, it's just Jesus, right? He is preaching a sermon. And in verse 2 of Matthew 5, right, the multitudes have come, he went up into the mountain, and it just says he opened his mouth. Guess what's getting ready to happen? Truth and life and victory is about to come because he's about to speak, and there's nothing more powerful. There's nothing that can stop it. He opened his mouth and he taught him. And he says, blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So do you know whose the kingdom of heaven is? It's the humble because he spoke it. In verse 4, he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So guess what? If you're going to be comforted. This isn't. He's not up here hoping. He's not up here saying, man, verse 5, blessed are the meek. I hope they inherit the earth. He is stating facts that are unchangeable, that will come to pass, that have nothing that can stand in its way. Blessed are they, in verse 6, which hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. Blessed are the merciful, because they're going to obtain mercy. He's just telling us fact after fact, unstoppable truth. So grab hold of it. It's true. It's alive. It will come to pass. And like I said, if you look through all of these pages, it's just Jesus preaching. The Lord's Prayer, forgiveness, judge not others. And he goes on and he goes on. And at the very end of Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, it came to pass when he had finished his whole sermon, the people were astonished at his doctrine. You know why? Because in verse 29, it says he taught having authority, not as the scribes. He had all authority. So when he was telling them, yes, they had never seen anyone speak with complete conviction. He stood up there and he told them exactly what was going to occur without question, without doubt, with all assurity, because he has all authority. I love that. When he speaks, it's over. When he speaks, it comes to life. When he speaks, creation must obey. The very next chapter, right after that, right after 7:20, I goes right into chapter 8. So he had just come down from the Sermon on the Mount. Great multitudes followed him. And there came a leper that worshipped him, saying, Lord. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. This leper had faith. If you will, I'll be clean. If you'll do it, I know you can. And in verse 3, Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him and he said, I will. He said, I will. He said, be thou clean, but you're going to need to get this ointment from Walgreens. This leprosy, well, hear me out. This leprosy, I mean, you've got a bunch of stuff on you, so you're going to need it, but it's going to be about a week, right? And you're going to need to really get it in there. No! He said, I will, be thou clean. And guess what? Immediately, the leprosy had to leave. Because he spoke. And when he speaks, everyone must listen. Everyone, everything must come under subjection. He said, I will, you're clean. And he was clean immediately. Jump down to verse 5, same chapter. Jesus had entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion, right? And he says, Lord, my servant's at home sick. He's paralyzed. He's in a bad way. And Jesus says, I will come and I will heal him. The centurion said, Lord, he said, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof. But speak the word. Just say it. Just speak the word only. And my servant will be healed. See, he got it. He got it that when God speaks, it will happen. And he goes on and he says, I'm a man that under authority. I have soldiers under me. And when I say to them, go or to come, they do it. And I know that you have authority. I know that you have all power. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Is he still marveling today? Because we know that when he speaks, it's finished, it's done, it will happen. But he marveled and he said, I haven't found such a great faith in all of Israel. I say unto you that many will come from the east and the west. They'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way. Go. And as you have believed, so be it done. And guess what? His servant was healed that very hour because he spoke. That's all he has to do is speak. He speaks and it will be done. The centurion knew it. The leper knew it. Do you know it? Speak and it will be done. Same chapter. Jump down to verse 28. Now when he was coming to the other side of the country, there met him two that were possessed with devils. They were coming out of the tombs. They were exceedingly fierce, so that no man could go that way. You don't go that way. You can't go that way. It's not going to work out for you. Verse 29, the demons, they cried out. They cried out and they said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you already come? Are you here early to torment us?" See, the demons know the power of Almighty God. The demons, the devil, know the power of Jesus when he speaks. And then in verse 30, it says that a good way off, there was a herd of swine they were feeding. And look at verse 31. The devils begged him. They said, "If you're going to cast us out," because they knew what was going to happen when he did, "if you're going to cast us out, please, can we go into that swine? Hey, as soon as you say it, we're done. We're defeated. We know that you have all power. Please, can we just..." The demons begging him. Do you know how much power and authority he has? He has all of it. And in verse 32, he said, "Go." And they came out and they went to the swine. That's all he had to say. He said one word. He said, "Go." And they went. They have no power. He has all the power. They have no power over you, over your house, over your families. He does. He has all power and authority. They know it. We should also know it. John chapter 5. Verse 1. This time of year there was a feast of the Jews. So Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered. They were crippled. They were paralyzed. They're waiting on the water to move. For in verse 4, an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he stirred that water. And whoever was first, when they stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease they had. So there was a certain man that had laid there for 38 years. 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, and he knew that he had been there a long time, he said, "Will you be made whole? Will you be healed? Will you?" He said, "But I don't have anyone to get me into the water when it's troubled. By the time I get over there, somebody else has stepped down before me." And in verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And in verse 9, he said, "But listen, you've been laying down for 38 years. You're going to want to stretch. You're going to want to make sure. You might get a cramp. I don't know. Your calves can't be, but you've been laying around, right?" He said, "So like, I'm going to heal you, but it's going to be a minute. You're going to need to do some, you're going to need to start walking of an evening. You're going to need..." No! He said, "Take up your bed and walk," and immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. Jesus spoke, and immediately it happened. I love that scripture so much, because I remember when Charlotte was sick and in the hospital, and we stood up here and prayed for her, the Lord said to me, "Charlotte's going to take up her bed and walk." And I was like, "Okay, like that's good for me." Like, I was good with it. It was over. She was healed. And guess what? Charlotte's here. Because she took up her bed and walked, right? Jesus called your name. He speaks. And you're healed immediately. John chapter 11. The story of Lazarus. We're going to talk about Charlotte. We're going to talk about Lee. He's not here, but I don't want him to get mad. John chapter 11. So everybody knows the story, right? Jesus, they came to him when he was sick. He waited and waited. He didn't go. Lazarus died. He's dead, right? He's been dead 4 days. They're even like, you know, I mean, it's bad. John chapter 11, verse 43. You know, Jesus has talked to Mary, he's talked to Martha, they've cried. If you just would have come, he just finishes praying. And when he had thus spoken, he cleared his throat and he whispered, "For Lazarus," right? No. It says he cried with a loud voice. And there is no question mark at the end of this sentence. There should be an exclamation point. Because he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hands and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Many of the Jews that day which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Jesus didn't ask Lazarus. Jesus didn't ask Lee. I'll never forget where I was standing. I was standing all the way back up against that wall with Pastor Jerry. They're in here. Lee is dead. And the Lord spoke to me, quickened my spirit. He was telling Lisa the same thing in a different part of the church. But he spoke to me. He said, "When I told Lazarus to come forth, he had no say in the matter." And I said, "Amen." So when he told Lee to come forth, it's not a question, it's a command. And when he says it, it will happen. When he speaks, we are delivered. We can be raised from the dead. We can be healed. Because when he speaks, it has no choice but to submit to the power that is in him. Matthew chapter 27 is where we'll go. So you guys all go there. Rick, throw John just 19:30 up there. Then we're going to go to Matthew 27. So everyone has heard the story of the crucifixion. All that Jesus went through. Beaten for us. Gave his life. He's hanging on that cross in John 19:30. He had just been given some vinegar. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Now in John, it doesn't go on and finish telling what happened when he said, "It is finished." But guess what? Jesus spoke, so something happened. Matthew 27, verse 50. See, Matthew doesn't say what Jesus said. Matthew just says, Jesus, when he had cried again, he yielded up the ghost. Well, we just saw in John what he said. He said, "It is finished." And when he said that and gave up the ghost, in verse 51, "Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake. The rocks rent. The graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which were dead arose. They came out of their graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." And in verse 54, "When the centurion and they that were with him that watched Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" You see, when he said it was finished, that veil ripped because we now had access. He was the sacrifice. There was no more need to sacrifice animals. He was the spotless lamb with no blemish. He died once so that all men could be saved that would accept him as their Lord and Savior. So when he said it was finished, it was finished. We have salvation. We have the opportunity, despite what we have done, despite our sin and filth, we have the opportunity to spend eternity with him if we will accept him as our Lord and Savior because of what he did on that cross. So when he said it was finished, it was finished. All he has to do is speak. It was finished. He rose 3 days later. He's alive today, right? It is finished. I'm going to have Rick throw Isaiah 40 verse 5 up there. I love this because I was reading last week in Isaiah and I was preparing for this sermon and this had nothing to do with it. But I read these words and I was like, that's it right there. This sums it up. It says, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together." Why? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He's saying it's going to happen because God said it. And that's how we have to live. What has He spoken over your lives? What has He told us? Because it's true. What has He said? Deuteronomy 31:6, what's He tell us? He says, be strong and of a good courage. So guess what? Be strong and of a good courage. You don't have to fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He goes with you. He won't fail you or forsake you. So guess what? That is so. He won't. It's done. It's finished. Like, this is the truth. This is what we need to walk in. John 16:33, remember? He said, I've told you all this so that you might have peace. Because you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because He's overcome the world. It's done. It's finished. He spoke it. That's the end. John 14:3, what's He tell us? He tells us He's coming back. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. So is He coming again? Yes, He said it. I'm coming again. I'm going to receive you to Me. And that where I am, you may be also. Folks, when God speaks, that's the end. That's right. It happens. It has no choice. So no matter if He comes and He stands and He calls to you like He did to Samuel, or if He comes and He calls to you in that small voice like He did Elijah, or if He comes as thundering and waves and the sound of many waters, just know that when He speaks, it's true. It's factual. It's unstoppable. It is inevitable that either it has happened, it is happening, or it will happen. There's no other alternative. When He speaks, it is finished. Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking. Thank You for encouraging us. Thank You for giving us a whole book of what You have to say. Yes, Lord, You inspired man to write it, but this is Your Word. Your living, true, and unstoppable Word. God, I ask right now that we would have a new found realization of what happens when You speak. That we would know that that's it. It is finished. When You speak it, there's no reason to question it. There's no reason to worry about it. There's no reason to second guess it. Lord, I don't have a backup plan. We have You and Your Word, and it is true, and it is faithful, and it is powerful. God, I ask that You embolden us with Your Holy Spirit, that we would speak Your truth. Because we know, like it says in Isaiah, that Your Word won't return void. It'll do what You sent it for to do, and it will prosper. So God, let us proclaim boldly what God has said to us, what God has done to us. Let us accept it, let us grab onto it, and let us not be swayed to the left or right, because Your Word is true and it is powerful. God, I pray that Your Spirit would just well up in each and every one of us, and that we would become so bold, that we would not be dismayed, that we would not be persuaded in anything other than Your truth, and we would live it, and we would tell everyone we come in contact with. Jesus said it, so it must be true. God, I ask You for opportunity. And I ask it in Jesus' holy name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.